panel before with someone else talking about the standardized method and someone else talking about the state of JARCOM. So I hopefully can bring this together a little bit because I'll be talking about both in this presentation. So is it coming up? Okay. So first I'd like to recognize my colleagues, Priya Jha, who is our country representative from India. She couldn't be here today with us. It's a holiday for her. And Katie Lavoie, who is there in the back, who helped to prepare this paper and do the research that I'm going to be talking about. And I'll recognize our collaborating partners, which is the government of Jharkhand, SEDPA, and this project was funded by USAID. Okay, let's see. What do I do here?
Just left click.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that didn't work.
Where is that?
Maybe double click on screen. No. Everybody else could do it with me. That's terrible.
Go ahead and get out of it.
Okay. How about resume?
Yeah, just you know, it will come you know, in a full form.
All right, now what did I do wrong here?
Just slip.
I did, yeah. Okay. All right.
One finger. Hold on.
And the arrow is? Got it. Okay, I have nothing to disclose. And so what I'm going to talk today is some data from research that we've done that will give you some interesting information, I think, on both quality and the effect of incorporating family planning into community workers' activities. The data that I'm going to present today come from a multi-site study that was actually designed to answer policy questions about the standardized method. After the method was developed and we began to expand it around the world, there were questions about how introduction of this method would affect contraceptive prevalence and method mix. You know, would people using other methods switch to this method? Would it have a negative impact on overall family planning use? So the study was designed to answer those questions, but in the case of India, we also had community health workers. So we have some very interesting results relevant to the topic of our panel. I think I can skip this slide because you are all now experts in the standardized method. The study was conducted in three countries, India, Rwanda, and Peru. And as I mentioned, I'll focus on our results from India today. In India, we worked in 64 health facilities, serving a population of about 350,000. We were overlapping with the Ranchi, so some of the same areas that Sushanta was talking about, we also worked on in this project, and we were working in about 198 villages. So why in Jharkhand? There are a lot of people actually in India who don't even know much about the state of Jharkhand, so you all are going to be experts now. Jharkhand used to be part of a state called Bihar, which many people are familiar with, but it was divided about 5 or 6 years ago into two states. It has some of the worst health indicators in the country, which is why there are a lot of efforts going on in the state of Jharkhand. So the intervention of this operations research, which is what it was to integrate the standardized method into all of the family planning programs in the given experimental area. So where there is government health services, we train them to offer the SDM. When there were social marketing, when there was community volunteers, we also trained them and tried to help them to incorporate the standardized method as an additional choice in the basket of choices that they were already offering. One thing that's important to recognize about Jharkhand is that there really is not a culture, India in general, not a culture of birth spacing. When people talk about family planning, they're generally talking about sterilization. There's very little use of birth spacing methods. So, for example, in the state of Jharkhand, the use of natural, or not really natural, but traditional methods is equal to the use of all other birth spacing methods. So you have maybe like 2% pill, 4% condom, 1% IUD. So it's very small percentage of birth spacing use. And that was, we were trying to integrate the SDM into that, those services, and at the same time bolster and strengthen the concept and services in terms of birth spacing. So really, you know, a lot of women in India, they have their three kids and they get sterilized very young. So we're trying to intervene at a different level. So this is the study design for the overall research. And we had control in experimental areas, and we had baseline and inline measurements after introducing the SDM. Some of the data that I'll be presenting today comes from all three of these final, these three rows down at the bottom. So we did a community household survey before and after introducing the SDM. We did simulated clients also before and after. And the simulated client is basically where we found women who were kind of typical of the area that we were working. We trained them to go seek services, requesting pills, condoms, or sterilization, or sorry, pills, a non-hormonal method, or sterilization. And then when they left the service, they filled out a checklist about the quality of care and the information that they received. Then we also collected Government of Jharkhand service statistics monthly from all the health facilities that we were working with. And the health facilities and the community health workers were attached or had relationship with the health facilities, so we collected their data there as well. So when we began the project, our first, you'll see here the CTU, so our first step was to do a contraceptive technology update on all methods for all of the providers, because we wanted to, we didn't want results to be privileged by the fact that these providers got an update and the others in our control area didn't. So all providers got a refresher training in all the family planning methods and sterilization as well that were available in the programs that they worked in. Then we trained the government clinical workers. So they were the medical doctors and the auxiliary nurse midwives who worked at the facility level. We knew initially that we were going to need to reach out at the community level, because the point of offering this method was really to expand family planning use, to reach new users, to reach men and women who aren't already using family planning and are isolated somehow from the health facilities. And training the doctors and the nurses, we're not going to reach those people. And they really don't have time to do very much family planning counseling at all. They mostly, their efforts are more focused on, in family planning, on sterilization. So we wanted to train the community health workers. It took us about a year to get buy-in and permission from the different entities that we needed to work with. And some of that was achieved with a lot of help from CARE. So to work with the Anganwadi workers. The Anganwadi workers, well, I'll tell you about them in a second. But so we trained about a year after the clinical workers started offering the SDM. We trained the community health workers. And then we had reinforcement for both types of providers about 15 months later. So the Anganwadi worker, which Sushanta also spoke about, is a community-based child nutrition worker who receives a small stipend from the government. They're hired and supported by the government. They're generally assigned to about 1,000 community members. Most villages or small group of villages in India do have an Anganwadi center where women bring their children, they do growth monitoring, they get supplemental feeding. And as he mentioned, they also ask them to do everything else. So in addition to these, their core services, they also have to do all the other health services. They're not run by the Ministry of Health. It's a different department, which is why it took us a year to get them on board, because we had to get a different department to agree. We also worked with a kind of a community health worker we call the animator. These are more project-specific community-based volunteers who also do receive an honorarium. They're considered less of a professional. They're more, they receive an honorarium for loss of wages. They're recruited and trained by different kinds of NGOs, different organizations in the areas that we worked. So what we've tried to do is, in all of the blocks, experimental blocks, find those NGOs that had community volunteers and see if they were willing to incorporate the SDM into the services that they offered. That many of them are men, and in contrast to the Anganwadi workers, who are pretty much always women, I think. And we had very much fewer animators. There were many more Anganwadi workers. So the role of both types of community health workers was quite similar. They were tasked to raise awareness of family planning methods. They provided family planning counseling. They offered oral contraceptives, condoms, and cycle beads. And the Anganwadi workers had really only recently started offering pills and condoms with the help of and training from CARE. So that was pretty new, and then we added one more method to what they were offering. They refer community members for other methods that can't be offered for IUD and sterilization, and they conduct follow-up. An important part of their work is awareness raising, and you see here some of the kinds of awareness raising they do. A lot of mothers' talks when women come into the Anganwadi center. They do village meetings. They go to self-help groups, street theater, which also was mentioned earlier, although in this case they mostly gathered together the people for the street theater. They didn't do it themselves. And then they had signboards on their houses saying that we offer burst-facing methods, and this is a wall painting from a health facility, actually, an Anganwadi center. You can't exactly see here, but it shows all different birth spacing methods, pills, condoms, and others, and suggests that people ask about, and cycle beads as well. So we can move to, go backwards here. Okay, the first study result. So our first result is that the community workers provide care which was as good or better than that of the clinical workers. So there's a lot of questions, and you'll see the context of this data is that the government wanted evidence. This was a pilot introduction of the standardized method. They wanted to know if, you know, is this feasible, what's the effect, and can community health workers provide good quality care? So so we found that they could, and this data this is data from what we call the Knowledge Improvement Tool, or the KIT. It's a supervision guide where workers would go out to visit some of the sites, and they would ask them a series of questions and check off. And the areas where there was gaps in knowledge at their next visit, they would reinforce those areas, but not ask the ones they got right the first time. So we can see the bars on your left are the clinical providers, the doctor, the auxiliary nurse, midwife, and the supervisors are male health workers. And then our blue bars there are the Anganwadi worker and the animator. So you see very, you know, comparable. This is really just testing knowledge. So we see comparable knowledge. And it's important because the literacy levels of the animators and the Anganwadi workers are quite low, especially some of the animators. Then we also wanted to look at their actual behavior counseling. So this is data from the simulated clients that I explained to you earlier. And so we're looking at, remember, these are women who are going in saying, with certain profiles, and they're saying, I would like, you know, either, depending on their profile, they wanted sterilization, oral contraceptives, or non-hormonal method. The idea that they would offer women who wanted a non-hormonal method, condoms, or the standardized method. So we see here, in terms of interpersonal relations, there's really no difference. There is literally no difference between the Anganwadi workers and the government doctors and the A&Ms. Very similar in terms of the amount of information that they're exchanging and the length of time that they're spending with the clients. And this slide looks a little bit more on the content of the information. How well are they explaining how the methods work, how to use the method, and then we have a special indicators on condom use, because that's most of the women and men using the standardized method in India do use condoms, something like over 80% during the fertile days. So it's very important that they demonstrate condoms and they explain it correctly. So you can see here that also very comparable, although the Anganwadi workers did a little bit better, quite a bit better than the government doctors in terms of explaining how the methods work. So then moving on to our second result, you know, what is the effect? I hate to call it impact because this is really a short-term project, but what was the effect of adding the community health workers in terms of use of the method and overall birth spacing? So this chart is government service statistics collected from the different facilities presented by quarter. So what we can see over the length of time is that the government workers, these are number of SDM users. So the government workers were pretty consistently producing a certain number of SDM users over the year and a half of the project. When we introduced the animators, which came on a little bit first, the community volunteers, use, you know, skyrocketed. Because, you know, it's not a surprise. I mean, they're in the communities, they're in the villages, they're in touch with the women and the men who are interested in this method. And then we have the Anganwadi workers also started up high, and that went down a little bit. And that had to do with one of the issues that Shushanta mentioned about task overload, and they're just putting too much on them. And then when they saw there was also these NGO volunteers or workers, they thought, well, why don't they do it? Why do I have to do it when I have to do all these other things as well? So there's some issue there about task shifting between the different cadres of providers. But I think definitely the data shows that by introducing, you know, this method and other family planning methods to community health workers, you really get, you know, more use and you expand access. So this slide is also based on government service statistics, and it's looking at the average number per clinic of new birth-facing users. So this is not just standardized methods, this is all birth-facing methods. And what we see here is a statistically significant increase in the number, overall number of new birth-facing users after the intervention. So after we trained the community health workers and they began to offer standardized method. Now you might ask a little bit, well, this is about all methods, but you're really talking more about the standardized method. What really happened is that because the family planning or birth-facing program was so weak, by adding this method and motivating, catalyzing these community health workers, they were able to offer all methods, you know, not, and they were kind of encouraged to do so and supported to do so. Another important result was that 87% of the new user, the new SDM users, were new to family planning. So we feel that this kind of reinforces our feeling that by adding this method, by getting community health workers who could offer this, because it doesn't require infrastructure or, you know, a lot of complicated knowledge, we can really bring new users to family planning. Some of them will continue with the standardized method, and others will switch to other methods. In this context, some of them use a method for a while and then go for sterilization when they're ready for that. And hopefully, eventually, there'll be other medium options for them, for those who don't want sterilization. So the final result is not a surprise to anyone, and really echoes what we saw in the last presentation, that the community workers become the most important source of information in their communities. So first of all, this slide is from our inline household survey, and this is, you know, all women, all men and men, nothing to do with standardized method users who are just doing a random household survey. And we asked them who told you about the standardized method. So the most important source of information was the Anganwadi worker, 62% of women and 22% of men, as opposed to the Ministry of Health provider, which was only 17% for women. So, you know, really the Ministry of Health is not getting the information out. That needs to be done, you know, in the community. And similar questions, how did you learn about the SDM? This one is looking more at channels of information rather than the specific people, although clearly the village meetings and the self-help groups are done by the community health workers, and they're, of course, the most important source of information. The Nukadnataks, the puppet shows, you know, they really reach a lot fewer people. Radio is very minimum. They did some health fairs, and television is minimal, too. So this really underlines the importance of the community health workers as a source of information. The final slide on that is showing what about where to get a family planning method, in this case, the standardized method. So women were asked, and men, where would you go if you wanted to obtain the standardized method? A new method, people don't necessarily know where to get it, so that was important. And again, it was the Anganwadi center and the Anganwadi worker that was the most important potential source. The animators are much less, and that's probably more than anything artifact of their numbers. There weren't that many of them. There were just a few. Then a couple of issues that I think, you know, we saw in our work with community health workers and are really everyone working with community health workers is tackling. One is training and support. It's really, they do need, you know, training, support, motivation. And really the women and the men in the community appreciate having a local source of information, someone to go to. But they also feel that they need to not always just refer them to another level. They have to have the confidence and skills. And depending on how many you have and what their literacy levels are, you know, it takes a fair amount of support to make that work. This is especially important right now in the case of India because they're rolling out a national program called the Rural Health Mission or the ASHA program, where they're training community health workers across the country to provide a lot of different services, including family planning. So, for example, in the case of Jharkhand, as a result of this project and others, the standardized method and cycle bees will be part of what they do, but they also do many other things. So it's going to be a challenge as the government, you know, rolls this out to see how it works, and especially because of task expansion and remuneration. So they really feel we're being asked to do all of these services, and you keep adding new things to what we do, but you're not giving us any extra money, any extra support, any extra time. We just have to fit this into what we're already doing. So I know these are really, you know, important issues in terms of working with community health workers that we see, you know, across the board. Just in conclusion, we found that the community health workers do provide good quality services. They can increase family planning use. They're a really important source of information, and they serve a critical role linking the clinical providers and the community members. And as we think about scaling up, in this case, the standardized method or other methods or medical abortion, they really are going to have to be, certainly in a case like India, you know, a key player in scaling up new innovations, because they are the ones that really have access to the women and the men who need these services, who are a little bit isolated from the services that are already existing. So I think that's it, and thank you very much. Do questions? Yeah. Any questions?
Thanks. Great presentation. When you were showing the slide about the new users and the animators, that was just so steep, and they were really, you know, responsible for so many new users. And then the slide showing. very low. What do you think is going on there?
I'm not sure. One thing might be that there are multiple sources of information. So the Anganwadi worker was probably talking about it as well as the animator. But the Anganwadi workers are definitely seen as the more official, most important central place for that.
In that graph, were those average New Year's or cumulative?
No, those were average. Those were monthly average, quarterly or monthly averages.
A few, and one or two have a really large number of
Yeah, they Someone had asked earlier, I don't know if the person who asked is still here, about our programs in Africa. I could just say that the place where there's the most use of the standardized method are in naturally the areas where we have our project is focusing on 6 focus countries with the objective of integrating sustainable good quality services by the and being able to document that. So 3 of the countries that we're working in are Mali, Madagascar, and Rwanda. And those are countries where the standardized method is partially scaled up already, so they have a lot of use. Senegal has also been a country with a lot of action. Kenya is starting with the help of FHI. And we're just starting to work in East Timor. But it really is a question of where do we have programs, where are governments interested, where are there other agencies that can take this on, more than I think any particular cultural or setting.
Could you talk a little bit perhaps about the limitations of using
SDM? Sure. There's a number of limitations. One is you need to have a regular cycle for it to work. So women with cycles between 26 and 32 days. If you have an out-of-range cycle within 1 year, then they're taught or counseled to switch to a different method. And if you see in the cycle beads, there is a darker brown bead. You probably can't see that, but there's a darker brown bead here. So women know if their period comes before this bead, their cycle is too short. Or if they go all the way here and their cycle doesn't come the next day, their cycle is too long. So part of the counseling is teaching them when this method will work for you and when it won't. Other limitations are it only works if the couple can either abstain or use a condom consistently and correctly on the fertile days. So, you know, and of course it doesn't prevent, you know, STIs or HIV either. So a lot of those issues have to do with the screening and the counseling for the method, so it's really important that there be, that's why we spend a lot of time looking at the simulated clients and the knowledge of the community health workers to make sure they're not just kind of passing this out to everyone, because it is something that can be diffused and does diffuse from woman to woman and couple to couple. So that's why I think Heather also spent time explaining the insert, because we think it's important that that kind of information go along with the method so people can understand who can use it and how to use it as it is diffused informally through a community. There is a there's a rubber band, kind of a rubber ring that you move and you place on the bead, and so it tells you which day you're on. Yeah. So that's critical. Any other questions, comments? That's a good question. I don't have the data at my fingertips. Exclusive breastfeeding isn't particularly long, but women who are breastfeeding are told that they need to have three cycles within range after their baby's born before they can use this method. So it's basically not a method that you can promote to postpartum women as a immediate, you know, certainly not as an immediate response. So, you know, what our work in India, for example, where the government is very interested in expanding options, is to also talk about the lactational amenorrhea method. So women are taught that along with other options for the postpartum. But that's still, even when you're using LAM, you're not going to be able to transition directly from LAM to this method. So they're going to have, it's a problem, especially among women who really don't want to use another method or aren't willing to use another method. So they have to do some kind of form of abstinence and or condoms in between if they're not willing to, you know, go pills or IUDs or other options. Any other questions? Okay.
you, Rebecca. Thanks very much. Were there other burning questions for our other presenters? Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, I think it is uniformly, you know, some line of cultural barriers are there. But, you know, this barriers is not against the option. This barriers is actually emanating from lack of awareness. And this lack of awareness actually gives them a typical attitude to understand what is safe abortion and it is unsafe abortion. Probably, you know, that still we are not facing too much of, you know, bottlenecks and barriers in terms of cultural aspects and religious aspect. Nobody is actually raising their voice on that because it is actually sold in a shape of maternal mortality. That is a plus point. But we are really too young in the community intervention. I was telling you that there is no community intervention. There is no evidence who is actually specifically talked about safe abortion. But with experience of, you know, last, you know, 6-7 years working with providers in the supply side and a little bit of, you know, promoting, you know, communication, what I can say that, you know, we never faced any kind of reservation from the community. This reservation is actually outcome of their lack of awareness because people still feel it is not legal. And when they feel it is not legal, they do it from the backstreet.
Other questions?
One more question.
Sure.
The medication abortion and emergency contraception, is that available in chemist shops in Japan?
Yeah. I think, you know, 13 or 14, you know, different companies are promoting medication abortion. And emergency contraception is already, you know, got a OTC status. That means over-the-counter status. Both are available, but yes, you have raised a very genuine question that although Government of India approved this drug and use of this drug for safe abortion, Government of India has not started yet procuring this drug for their public health site. Therefore, probably this community intervention, which is actually going on in collaboration with Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, Government of India, it will give some mileage to actually help other state governments to procure these drugs. But drugs are available in the market. Yeah, this is, you know, already it is going on that, you know, that if you remember that I have placed, you know, 4 box, what are the genuine bottlenecks in India. What positive side actually, you know, that we are now really enjoying is political will and support from the government side. Because it was only in the, you know, parliamentary library, that MTP Act, which actually we created in 1971, but now really government is actually trying to push this and they are also think, you know, in the process of amending the law. I think, you know, from that side, you know, we really don't have much issue. Only thing is that now when government is pushing this option act supply in a very rigorous way and they also introduced safe abortion under PIP, that means, you know, project implementation plan for Government of India, which is called NRHM, National Rural Health Mission. It's a big bang of reproductive health phase. They have already included that all state governments already have their, you know, log frame and responsibility to act on it. Therefore, it is now natural. Thank you. It's a very good question.
Well, I'd like to thank all three of our presenters. That was most informative. For the moderator, it's easy to sort of pull everything together, even though two of them were about Jharkhand and one wasn't, and two were about standardized method and one wasn't. But all three, the common thread was the tremendous potential that community-based providers have to bring health services closer to the people. And so when we don't invest in those kinds of services, we're really missing an opportunity. I'll close by saying that I think it's a real testament to the field of public health and to the professionalism of our researchers that we can have the abortion service researchers and the natural method researchers from the Catholic University get together and talk about their work without any rancor. And this time of year particularly, I wish our politicians could do the same. So thank you all very much. And I'm sure if you have other questions for the presenters, they would be delighted to speak with you. Thank you.
That was tremendous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Maybe in India one day.
Yes, sure.
Why not?
The project I'm working on, I'm supposed to start working on the MP and Turkey. It's called the Pemikan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey!
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say hi.
Thank you. How's it going?
Good.
I'm presenting on Wednesday about sort of community basis. It's about the drug shop in Uganda and where it's illegal to give depo injections, but 90% of them give depo injections.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they have a socially marketed depo there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to support.
But I didn't realize until this panel that it was illegal for AMs to do medical
documentation.
And now we know we're treating them to do delivery, treat complications, everything else. You know, they were supposed to throw AMs where there's very little information.
That would make much sense.
Anyway, nice to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks. I need a hug. How are you?
Thank you.